Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Just come with me and we can shake your blues right away. You'll be doing fine once the music starts. Oh, feel the beat of the rhythm of the night. Dance until the morning light. Forget about the worries on your mind. You can leave them all behind.
Feel the beat of the rhythm of the night.
Oh, the rhythm of the night. Oh, yeah.
Commissioner Kohler and I attended the Installation Innovation Forum last week, and he mentioned it today, and I wanted to mention it now, earlier today. Former CIA Director and Defense Secretary Leon Panetta was a guest speaker, and he shared a story. The story went like this. A priest and a rabbi got together, and they thought they would try to get to know each other better. They went to a boxing match. And when the bell rang, one fighter made the sign of the cross. The rabbi turned to the priest and said, "What does that mean?" The priest said, "It doesn't mean a damn thing if he can't fight." The secretary went on to say, "Do not rest comfortably. BRAC will be back on the table." BRAC is face realignment and closure. So the message was, that was the message. The point was that the community needs to be able to fight. And the fight has already started.
Not to put a wet blanket on a day when we're excited about the base reopening after the shutdown and after the Blue Angels are going to fly for one last performance today at 1 o'clock. Base opens at 9. Flight line opens at 11 behind the museum. But, yeah, this is the thing that we have heard before sort of vaguely, right? We've heard vaguely that we should be concerned about mission, that we always have to be concerned about mission. We have to be concerned about our education system, going back to Tim Kinsler talking openly about that and us covering that extensively, that fixing the schools in Escambia County is a vital part of maintaining all of the various missions at NAS Pensacola. Traffic, affordability of housing, availability of childcare, these are all things that matter. And, you know, I mean, we are a very military-friendly town, and that counts a lot, but that's not the only thing that they're going to care about when they're thinking about where to put or, you know, relocate missions, if that ever comes to be the case. You know, even down to just quality of life type stuff. You know, there are so many dimensions. And, you know, this is why we're always talking about buffering and making sure that, you know, there are not houses where there's going to be airspace used because we want to make sure, noise, because we want to make sure that the base is compatible. All of that, you know, beautifying Navy Boulevard may not, you know, matter a whole lot because that's basically the dead-end street. It kind of is a dead-end street if you think about it. But kind of trying to do everything we can, right? That's the idea, trying to do everything we can to keep all the missions we have. Because if BRAC comes, it can be devastating. I mean, we got, like, what, half of our economy in Escambia and two-thirds of the economy in Santa Rosa County are military-related or dependent upon the money that comes from the military. So this is a big deal, and if Leon Panetta is saying be concerned, well, be concerned. Mike Kohler, and Steve is a retired military. Mike Kohler's retired military.
Leon Panetta was a congressman in the Monterey area when I was a warrant officer in the Bay Area, and I told this story today. Ron Dellums was the chairman of the Armed Services Committee at the time. Wade, Keith, you may remember this. You were out in Oakland. But Bill Clinton was the president. And he came to the auditorium at the Naval Hospital, and at that time, he said, "There's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to worry about. We're not going to close the hospital. We're not closing Presidio. We're not closing Alameda. We're not closing Fort Ord. We're not closing Treasure Island." Well, then BRAC happened. Everything closed, and no one could do anything, and millions of dollars left. And so we have to have an offensive posture here, because it's not just about the base. It's about our colleges that get GI and TA. It's about our healthcare system that get TRICARE dollars that are in the millions. It's about our funeral homes that get VA benefits when they die. It's 47% of our economy. And I know I'm going to beat it every day up here, and I'm going to work on that. That was one of the biggest things I ran on. But we do have a coalition now that's working really hard. And I just want to give them credit for doing that.
Absolutely. I mean, look, every single military expert, leader, official, retired or otherwise that I have ever talked to about this has all said the exact same thing. Missions can leave. You know, there's nothing requiring NAS Pensacola to be in the future what it is today. NAS Whiting Field, you know, I mean, the facility is pretty unique, and it's the busiest airspace in the world. And, you know, you might think that's actually in some ways a little bit more secure, but the same issues in Santa Rosa County. You know, buffering, friendliness, base access, traffic, affordable housing. I mean, if the service members cannot, you know, get their kids educated, get childcare for their kids, get to work and back on time, you know, all of the and afford houses, well, they'll find a place where they can. I mean, you know, Hurricane Sally cost the U.S. Navy $500 million in repairing, and it's not all spent yet, NAS Pensacola. It's hard to imagine a future without the Blue Angels. It's hard to imagine a future without all the training missions or, you know, any of, or, you know, NETSI or NATSI or any of the other things that go on board the base. But anything can move. And the people who have seen it happen are the most aware of the danger. You know, it's like when Quince Drew that I was talking about, you know, because you didn't see the good thing happen, you don't miss it. Well, some people have seen the bad thing happen and they want to avoid it. So be paying attention to this. This stuff really matters for the long-term viability of our community. 6:15 on News Radio 92.3. So I appreciate Commissioner Stroberger and Kohler bringing this up the other day. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110, Highway 29, 90 all look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. The History of the Blues is presented by Dale's Marine Construction.
The Blue Angels flight demonstration consists of six aircraft performing a prescribed sequence of maneuvers. These are divided into three primary components: the four-plane Diamond, the two solo jets, and all six planes in the Delta formation. Every move is planned right down to the most specific detail. Even canopy closings on the flight line are choreographed. The maneuvers demonstrated by the Blue Angels are not stunts or tricks. They are tactics taught to every naval fighter or attack pilot. Under combat conditions, they would be flown anywhere from treetop level to 60,000 feet. But for an air show, they are brought down to eye level and are flown in extremely close formation along a predetermined flight line. When flying in the Delta or Diamond formation, the pilots monitor the constant radio chatter that guides each movement. But they must also stay mentally ahead of the sequence and know at all times not only their relationship to the other aircraft, but also to the ground below. The two solo jets demonstrate the high-performance characteristics of the FA-18. In some crossing maneuvers, the two jets fly towards each other at a closing speed of 1,000 miles per hour and cross at the center of the flight line in front of the crowd. Precise timing is crucial in the solo routine because if the jets were to be off by just 1 second, they would pass more than 200 yards from the center point. Though the Blue Angels experience G-forces as high as 8 times their body weight, they do not wear G-suits because doing so would interfere with the precise stick movements necessary to fly such delicate maneuvers. Since 1946, almost 500 million people around the world have attended nearly 5,000 Blue Angel performances, and there's no telling how many more have seen them on television. The Blue Angels are the finest flight demonstration team the world has ever known. The men and women who fly and maintain the squadron take pride in everything they do. The work is very demanding, but they're doing what they love to do. They are fulfilling an important mission for the Navy, and therefore the country. They are the best there is. They are the Navy's. They are America's. They are Pensacola's. They are our Blue Angels, and we love them. I'll be back with more after this.
Dale's Marine Construction has been building high-quality waterfront structures in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties for 35 years, making Dale's Marine the leading marine contractor for seawall projects, riprap, docks, boathouses, and boat lifts. From planning and permitting through construction, the experienced foremen at Dale's Marine Construction are true craftsmen who do the job right. Get your dream waterfront installation started today and live the dock life with Dale's Marine Construction, proud sponsor of the Blue Angels.
This is Mike Bates. I'd like to thank Lieutenant David Gardner, the Public Affairs Officer for the Blue Angels, and Hill Goodspeed, the historian at the National Naval Aviation Museum on board NAS Pensacola, for their assistance with my research for this program. Thanks to all who have ever worn the uniform of the United States military. And thanks to you for listening as News Radio 1620 FM 92.3 traced the history of the Blue Angels.
Curbside recycling in the city of Pensacola is important to preserving the environment and keeping the city clean. But people have questions. What can be recycled? When do the trucks come? How much does it cost? Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 to hear Daryl Singleton and John Scanlon with the City of Pensacola Sanitation discuss the City of Pensacola recycling program. Everything you need to know to recycle and help keep Pensacola beautiful.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida, brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tired of your roof playing peekaboo with the rain? Call Quality Roofing. They fix leaks faster than your neighbor borrows your lawnmower.
Thanks, neighbor.
Whether it's storm damage or shingles gone wild, their expert team handles it all. No duct tape required. With top quality materials and service so good, even your mother-in-law will approve, especially their lifetime workman warranty. Don't wait for your ceiling to start drip-dropping. Call Quality Roofing Solutions. Quality Roofing Solutions, because your house deserves a hat that actually fits.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app. Tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Sydney Sweeney, the mellifluous, buxom, blonde-haired, blue-eyed starlet of the softcore porn series Euphoria, who was more recently rendered infamous and officially held accountable by us for her eugenics-promoting white supremacy culture-saturated ads for American Eagle jeans. Now that some of the furor over her thinly veiled homage to the furor has died down, the doe-eyed vixen of Valhalla has reignited the firestorm with her completely unacceptable answers to fashion magazine GQ's questions.
We're sort of talking around this American Eagle ad right now, and maybe we should just talk about it. So, were you surprised by the reaction?
I did a jean ad?
Oh no, dear Othern. Have none of our highly capable thought fixers had a chance to indoctrinate her with even the most basic precepts of intersectional cultural linguistic theory? How many times must we explain it? A jean ad is never just a jean ad. Every moment of every day is an opportunity to make everything about our religion of enlightened progressivism. And when you fail to saturate literally every square inch of life with our wokest dogma, you abdicate your obligation as a person of enhanced popularity to use that platform to virtue signal this world to its better outcome.
Is there something that you want to say about the ad itself? The Sydney Sweeney has great genes.
The ad spoke for itself.
No. Nothing ever speaks for itself. We must always be adding interpretation and guidance to even the most ham-fisted of artistic constructions to be certain that nobody ever learns to think for themselves and that every message is conveyed with the most on-the-nose clumsiness that authoritarian art excels at. And that's why it was so important for GQ's intrepid reporter and in-house advanced practitioner of upspeak and vocal fry, Kat Stoffel, to give the unrepentant lass one last chance to explain herself.
Criticism of the content, which was basically that maybe specifically in this political climate, like, white people shouldn't joke about genetic superiority. Like, that was kind of like the criticism, broadly speaking. And since you are talking about this, I just wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about that specifically.
I think that when I have an issue that I want to speak about, people will hear.
Well, this level of impertinence is completely unacceptable. It was bad enough that she did the white supremacy ad. It was worse that she refused to apologize for it. It was even worse that she refused to answer our inquisitor's questions, carefully designed for maximum disarming effect. But to dismiss the obligation carried in the question itself, as though silence is ever an acceptable option, this is tantamount to blasphemy. The only thing we must always remember about our basic doctrines is the first basic doctrine of the Holy Church of Woke. Always respect the offendedness of the almighty groupthink. When the collective has brought accountability to your front porch, you must absolutely let them in, offer them a mint julep, and answer the stinking question. But I suppose in the end, we cannot be shocked that Sydney Sweeney, the poster princess of modern Nazism, would stray so terribly, so flagrantly, so intentionally from the path of true virtue. After all, what are her initials? SS? Anyone without enough basic decency to change her own name so that she doesn't look like the obvious mouthpiece of the master race can't be expected to do anything else right. Well, now you can feel the sternly worded wrath of us all, Miss Aryan America 2025. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, oh dear Otherin, last week was such a beautiful moment in cultural change-making as the various off-brand elections showed a sea change in America's willingness to elect just our kind of people. And although the lioness's share of attention was lavished on New York City's Zoran Mondani, a lesser-discussed revolution also took place in Seattle, with the election of Mayor Katie Wilson, a community organizer who daily embodies the true principles of modern socialism, mostly by still living off of her parents' financial support. But the reason we want to celebrate this week's recipient of the brushed bronze Birkenstock of virtue with three non-GMO hemp tassels is her comments about the evil empire of Kroger grocery stores, which in the Northwest is Fred Meyer. As she said during a campaign speech at one that was closing,
access to affordable, healthy food is a basic right. We cannot allow giant grocery chains to stomp all over our communities, close stores at will, and leave behind food deserts. Together we can build a Seattle where fresh food is for everyone, not just for those who can afford it.
It is such music to my egalitarian ears. Everyone deserves these things that other people provide, amen. And to hear her so adamantly announce that privately owned grocery stores will no longer be allowed to close down, of course! If grocery stores have to let government permission to open, they obviously have to get government permission to close. Duh. We are the government, after all, and we know best. Although she did stop short of announcing the next logical step that the city would just seize these stores, as other socialist governments have done throughout history, and in seizing them, the city can begin operating them, you know, efficiently for the benefit of the citizenry instead of for the benefit of the people who, you know, actually own them.
As mayor, I'm excited to step up and with UFCW explore public option grocery stores to fill those gaps.
Yes, by Lenin, only when the left coast proletariat can own and operate the tools of production and distribution like grocery stores can real equity and prosperity come forth. For instance, she will force them to operate on the basis of fairness rather than on the basis of competitiveness.
We'll also ensure that companies offer fair discounts to customers. Companies should not be locking discounts behind smartphones, making them inaccessible to elderly and low-income shoppers.
Yes! And who will decide what is a fair discount? We, the government, of course. And in fact, her vision of marrying grocery stores to public housing is so obvious, it's almost a wonder nobody else has ever successfully merged public welfare accommodations with public welfare feeding locations.
And as we build new housing throughout our city, we will lay the foundations for food security with grocery-oriented development zones, or GODs, if you will. We will pair full-service grocery stores with workforce housing, dedicating some of those units for those who rely on SNAP and WIC.
GODs, indeed, where people can learn to worship the government that provides everything for them. What will this brilliant mind, who still depends on her parents for a living, come up with next? Government food sold at a discount to people living in adjacent government housing and presumably using government transit to go to work at their government-mandated minimum wage jobs? I may have to move back to the Great Northwest just to experience the prosperity for myself. And once she empanels her cabinet with what she promised would be Black, Indigenous, Hispanic, Latinx, not to be confused with Hispanic, LGBTQ, and Asian members, this overeducated white woman might finally pay down at least half of the white guilt she learned from her professor parents. Let's just hope she doesn't run out of cabinet-level positions before she runs out of demographic categories to check boxes with. But if she does, perhaps she can just curate new roles, like Secretary of Proving a Point, or the Supervisor of Representation, the Vice Chancellor of Being Seen, or just Senior Diversity Hires 1 through 3. So well done, Mayor-elect Wilson. We literally can't wait to see what thriving sector of the private economy you decide to fix next with bigger, better government, just like all the super successful socialists before you. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
6:29 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic for us. John?
I still want to apply for that making the point position. I really like that.
Supervisor of representation.
Yeah, exactly. All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm not seeing any delays this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Wait. My computer My computer always picks the worst time to lock up on me. Here we go. It looks like it's coming back to life. Verizon's cutting 15,000 jobs, Andrew. The Wall Street Journal out with a report yesterday that said the cuts are the largest ever for the company. They're set to happen next week. Hamas has returned the body of a hostage to Israel. Authorities in Israel confirming the body was that of 73-year-old Menny Goddard. He was killed during the Hamas raid on southern Israel in 2023. And Pete Hegseth announcing a new military operation targeting narco-terrorists and protecting America's neighborhood. He said yesterday that the Western Hemisphere is America's neighborhood and the U.S. will protect it. U.S. strikes on alleged drug boats now have killed about 80 people.
Yeah, it's weird to me to hear Marco Rubio give the justification for all of this because pre-Trump, pre-Secretary of State under Trump, he would not have said the things that he is saying about these attacks. I'm pretty sure about that.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump plans to lower tariffs on some food imports to get prices down. Vice President Vance says the administration's focused on affordability.
Over the next 3 years, 3 months, to make sure that more people can afford a good life, they can afford to buy homes, young people can afford to start families, and we've actually got good jobs that put people on a career trajectory to stability.
He's on Fox's Hannity. The president and Melania Trump announced actions meant to support the nation's foster care system.
President Trump launching the Fostering the Future program.
We will illuminate the pathway for today's foster children to become tomorrow's builders.
The First Lady's initiative brings together federal agencies, nonprofits, universities, and private sector leaders to establish scholarships and mentorship programs for foster care children.
That's Fox's Jared Halpern at the White House. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got 56 degrees and clear skies in Pensacola. Well, NAS Pensacola reopens to the public today. The West Gate opens at 9 a.m. The Blue Angels practice at 1 p.m. this afternoon. Flightline gates will open at 11. Now, this is the last opportunity of the year to see the Blue Angels fly before they are done for the season. The Naval Aviation Museum and Lighthouse also reopening today. Now, to get on board the NAS, you do need a real ID or valid U.S. passport. NAS Pensacola also has a clear bag policy, and backpacks and large purses are not permitted, and parking is free, but they say it's limited, so once the parking limit is reached, base access could be limited as well. Downtown Pensacola is getting a makeover. The city council approving the reimagined Palafox project on Thursday in a 5-2 vote. The $10.7 million project will have to be funded, or will be funded mostly by the city's CRA, with FPL chipping in about $3 million. So look for a lot of changes on Palafox over the next year. The project will include new brick pavers, wider sidewalks, crosswalks, stormwater improvements, and, of course, the construction will start in January, expected to wrap up by next summer. More than 230 criminal immigrants were arrested across the state of Florida, including 150 convicted sex offenders. Federal immigration authorities said yesterday that they conducted an enforcement surge with help from local and state police all across Florida. Officials say they targeted child predators, rapists, and violent criminals.
These heinous criminals have gone and attacked children at their most vulnerable state, and law enforcement has stepped up to the plate to remove them from the communities. Over the last 10 days, we have removed 54 sexual predators, 164 offenders of sexual crimes, 2 convicted murderers, 1 convicted of drug trafficking, and 8 other heinous felonies.
That's ICE Deputy Director Madison Shahan, and she and other officials held a news conference in Miramar yesterday. They're calling it part of a new immigration enforcement strategy focused on getting violent offenders off the streets. Santa Rosa Medical Center earned an A safety grade from the Leapfrog Group. That's a national nonprofit watchdog that evaluates hospitals on patient safety. They're the only hospital in Escambia or Santa Rosa County that did get that A rating. The group is based, the grade is based on evidence-based measures of medical errors, accidents, injuries, and infections. Hospital leaders say it reflects their staff's commitment to putting patient safety first. A man who killed a child in Brevard County is dead after being executed. Brian Frederick Jennings, he died last night at the Florida State Prison. The 66-year-old was convicted of kidnapping, raping, and killing a 6-year-old girl back in 1979. It was the 16th execution of the year in Florida. There's still two more scheduled before the year's end. A man who helped put away child killer Brian Jennings was glad to see him pay the ultimate price. Jennings, of course, put to death yesterday at the Florida State Prison. Michael Hunt worked on that case as a prosecutor in the state attorney's office. He said the memories have stayed with him. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by the Apple Market. Are you hungry? Well, Apple Market Deli's got you covered. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. 7 days a week, fresh, affordable, and delicious. Apple Market, 1021 Scenic Highway in Pensacola. Still rolling accident-free right now. Just starting to see some minor delays on I-10 eastbound as you approach Highway 29 and also Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile. Experiencing just a small delay there. But other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Plenty of sunshine today with temperatures starting out in the 50s. We'll get into the mid-70s for your afternoon high today. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping back near 54 degrees. For Saturday, nice sunny skies, high near 75. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 59. Keeping the sunshine around for Sunday with a high near 75 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 56 degrees with sunshine this morning. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. Reporting quarterly results for the first time since its September IPO, StubHub posted a per-share loss equal to $4.27. Meanwhile, the ticket reseller's revenue of $468 million topped expectations, but StubHub didn't provide an outlook for the current quarter, and its shares are down a sharp 20% pre-market. More than 1,000 unionized Starbucks workers have begun strikes at stores in 45 cities to protest a lack of progress in labor negotiations with the coffee giant. The strike began yesterday, timed to disrupt Starbucks' Red Cup Day, typically one of the company's busiest days of the year. Wall Street futures are mostly lower at the moment. On Thursday, stocks plummeted, the market's worst day in a month, in fact, with the Dow Jones Industrial skidding nearly 800 points, the NASDAQ down some 2.3%. Oil futures, though, are rallying, though off the best levels of the day. December crude's up well over 1%. That's Your Money Now.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
This Thanksgiving at Total Wine & More, find bourbons and cabernets that you adore. Our helpful guides are so friendly and nice. So many bottles to try at the lowest price. So gather with friends as you sit down to eat, grateful for all who made Thanksgiving complete.
With curbside pickup and delivery available and the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stefan? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them today at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more on News Radio Pensacola.
And you told me not to drive, but I made it home alive. So you said that only proves that I'm insane. You may be right, I may be crazy, but it just may be a lunatic you're looking
good
for.
Good morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. Some of the little things that have gotten tucked into this bill that was passed to, you know, avert the government shutdown, you know, the one about the fee to compensate or punish people who give out the phone records or seek the phone records of the senators. Like, that's a weird one. I haven't really dug into that one enough, just kind of read the headlines. But the stuff related to THC and hemp is, I mean, earth-shattering. It is amazing, some of the stuff that went into this. So I wanted to talk with somebody who's very intimately familiar with all this, Michelle Salzman, our state representative for District 1 and a dear friend. Michelle, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, good morning. It's good to be here.
So, yeah, great to have you. Let's talk about this. What happened on Monday? By my read, you had a kind of a, call it a loophole, call it a gray zone, whatever you want to do, in a bill that passed in 2018, the Farm Bill, made it possible to have a bunch of THC and THC-derived products on the marketplace, like the little drinks that have THC that you see at the Publix or whatever.
But not on purpose.
Right, right. It inadvertently allowed that. And so we had this massive proliferation. And now this new bill has completely shut that off. So let's start from the beginning. What did the bill do then, and what's changed?
Well, initially that bill was made for farming. Mm-hmm. The bill was passed for farming. It gave all the rules and regulations about how to farm hemp. It did not get into specifics on consuming it because it wasn't meant to make hemp consumable. But you know us Americans, we love to turn everything into something else. We want to supersize it, add this. You know, we'll turn anything into something.
If George Washington Carver can find 10,000 uses for peanuts, by gum, we can find a way to make hemp into THC and get people high on their drinks.
That's what we did. That's what we did. We synthetically alter THC. That is what is happening all across the world. It's becoming synthetically altered, which means that it's a hemp-derived THC that is legal because there was nothing making it illegal. So manufacturers, you know, scientists, the super smart people found a way to turn it into a consumable product. But not only did they do that, they kept making it stronger and stronger and changing the compound. And now you got Delta 8, Delta 9, you've got all these different variances. They were really brilliant about it. And so now you have a legal recreational marijuana that's happened all across the United States. And I'm talking, these are the things that you see when you go to a gas station and they, you know, the beverages or the vape pens or, you know, it says 1,000 milligrams of THC. Yeah, it's the problem with that, though. I know it's going to be illegal through this bill, but the problem with that, because it was not intended to be a consumable product, there was no regulation, no end-of-line testing, no nothing. So a lot of these products you were buying from the gas station were hemp grown on the side of a road with pesticides or from China or some other third-world country with no real idea of what is actually inside that product. So you have a whole group of Americans that are just buying this stuff. Now, some of it is grown properly, Andrew. I'm not saying that everybody's a bad actor, but the problem was it was the wild, wild west out there. There was no regulation at all. So that's why you see all these head shops every couple of blocks, you know, with the marijuana leaves on, you know, banners outside, because they were able to, by federal government law, they were able to do this because they synthetically altered the hemp product.
See, I will confess, having like such a low level of interaction with the drug culture of any kind, I really didn't even know all of that. I mean, I kind of read in preparation for our interview, but because of you saying, hey, we should talk about this, because I kind of mentioned it in passing the other day, I learned all this. And like, here's what I thought, okay, as the ignorant, you know, Andrew McKay, I thought that all the hemp shops were basically selling the medical marijuana. That's the place where you go to get your medical marijuana stuff filled. I didn't even realize, even though I had seen it in the stores and I heard about the vape pens, there was a part of me that said, well, obviously they can't just be buying it off the shelves. No, they're just buying it off the shelves like they really, really are.
So I had, I chair Housing, Ag, and Tourism, and I had two Republicans file two separate bills to regulate hemp last session. And I was like, I went to the speaker. I was like, whose bill do you want to move? Because these two, you know, I'm not going to choose. And speaker was like, well, I don't want to move any of them, you know. And I was like, well, okay, that's fine. And he didn't want to move any of them because he didn't want to make the choice either. He was like, we got to figure this out. So we had to pause and say, what are we really going to do? Because we actually did pass a bill that regulated hemp, made it pretty much illegal. And we sent it to the governor's desk and he vetoed it. The governor vetoed the bill because it was too strenuous. Mm-hmm. It would have put a majority of the businesses that are involved in this in Florida out of business. And Florida has one of the largest hemp manufacturer distributors in the nation here in the state. And that company in itself has a lot of economic power. You don't want to ruin the machine. So the problem the legislature had was we as a elected body across the nation empowered, created this system, this economy, and then we were just going to literally crumble it overnight with hundreds of thousands of jobs, billions of dollars of revenue. So it was a challenge. We were like, how do we fix this problem? So I said, well, hemp isn't even real in the first place. Why don't we just do a work group? We'll create a special work group. We'll pick people out of the legislature. We'll sit down and we will publicly, with every single component of this market, we will have that conversation and we're going to figure out what in the world we really do need to do. And I'm going to tell you, at least half of the House members that were on this panel, including myself, said publicly, I can't believe this is real. I had no idea you could actually get high off of this stuff.
Right.
This is crazy.
Right.
We have to fix it. We've got to put guardrails. We can't just have this stuff out. I mean, kids are eating it. The number of poison control phone calls from overdose on marijuana is astronomical. The number of ER visits is astronomical because they bring these packaged products home that look like Skittles or gummy bears. They set it on their counter, and then their three-year-old thinks it's candy. They eat it all, and now we have an overdose situation.
Michelle, let me pause you for just a second because there's more to this, but I want to pause. I just got to get a quick traffic report. We're talking to Michelle Salzman, our state representative. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents or delays right now. Everything is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Yeah. So
Thanks, John. Just to
put it in perspective, because I know people might be just tuning in, the law that ended the shutdown that passed is going to, when it goes into effect in 2026, is going to make about 95% of the $28 billion U.S. retail hemp market illegal. Because it will,
yes.
Like right now, a hemp gummy, hemp-derived gummy, has maybe 2.5 to 10 milligrams of THC or the derived THC products.
Or more, 1,000. You can
right,
get
well,
it 1,000
No, you're
milligrams.
Right. But this sets a limit at 0.4 milligrams per container, which is almost nothing by comparison with what's there now. And if all these products are based on the high concentration, I mean, it is going to make all of it. Okay, so back to you talking about the working group, talking about what we do now. Where does this leave us and where do we go as Florida?
Well, let me get back to the overdose thing because I want to make it clear. I don't want to mislead the audience. when I say overdose, you can't actually overdose on THC. The problem is there's not enough scientific evidence behind what happens when you have too much, where you overconsume. Like when you eat too much food, you throw up. You're not going to die from it, but you're sick. So when you eat too much THC or a child consumes all of this THC, we don't know what really it does to the body over time. So you have to take them to the ER. They're already, you know, they're sick. They don't feel well. It's a bad scenario. You feel like crap. So you've got to have fluids. You've got to be monitored for days. So while we know you're not going to necessarily die, we don't know what it's going to do to you.
It's certainly unexpected, right? I mean, a kid's not expecting, or a parent's not expecting that reaction is the point.
Right. So it's important to, but it costs the Floridians millions of dollars a year in medical issues because they were pointed towards kids, maybe not necessarily on purpose. But they wanted everybody to go, ooh, that looks fun. I want to eat that. I want to try that. So we were trying to rein all of that in at the state level without completely putting the businesses out of business because of the last veto. Remember, we passed something.
Right.
It would have removed recreational marijuana, which is what hemp-derived THC is, except there's no end-of-line testing. So you're smoking carcinogens and all kinds of really bad things. That's why you see a lot of people getting really sick from the vapes, because they're not necessarily vaping clean stuff. They're vaping whatever it was that somebody grew on the side of the road that used a chemical change, and now you can all of a sudden put it in your beverage.
So with this law going into place, I mean, the president signed it. You know, we're done. Does this wipe out the all? I mean, does this mean all of those shops go away because in Florida it's a federal crime?
Yes. So that means that they did my job for me, and I'm going to tell you, I got so many text messages. They're like, "Oh my God!" I was like, "No, please." Somebody regulate it, because it is such a complex market. I mean, you had the beverages alone. You had the three-tier system argument. You had the alcohol, tobacco, and firearm argument.
Yeah.
You had the FDAX, which is Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services argument. Like, there were so many regulatory arms put in place because nobody was really supposed to have to do this. Hemp wasn't supposed to be edible. It was supposed to be a textile.
Yeah, you make rope and tents out of it and stuff, right?
Exactly. And at the same time, there were some really valid arguments. There are some great companies out there that use that as an opportunity to make a holistic hemp-derived THC product. So people that didn't want to eat all that extra stuff that comes, the additives that come into the stuff you get from the medical cannabis, they could just have it from this specifically, where they grew it in a lab environment, and it wasn't something that you couldn't trust. They did end-of-line testing. You know, some companies actually did take it seriously and do it right. And those good actors, those were the ones we were trying to figure out, how do we not hurt them? And don't forget, I mentioned, we have a lot of industry in Florida that ships it out across the United States. So the places that are allowed to have recreational marijuana, those places should still be able to have the hemp-derived THC beverage that's on the shelf. So they're going to have a whole. I mean, it's going to be such a huge.
It's going to be a mess, and because we already have the problem of it's legal in places even though it's federally illegal, right? It's a Schedule One, even though there's all kinds of places where it's recreationally legal, and that has created banking issues and all kinds of other problems. As I understand it, that same level of conflict is now going to come into place for all of these THC-derived things. And so in places like Florida, where recreational is not legal, I assume they'll have to go away. In places like Colorado, it's going to be a bit of a question. Well, anyway, I really appreciate, Michelle, that you spent some time to explain all this to you. But before we let you go, I did want to give you a chance to talk about, you've got a food drive, food giveaway going on tomorrow. Is that right?
I do. Tomorrow morning, you can start lining up as early as you want, but at 7:30 in the morning, we will start the line. We started out with 300 families worth of food. So for a week of groceries with fresh produce, meats, and all that, and it's Thanksgiving, so you get that plus a Thanksgiving meal for your family to include a whole chicken. We do chicken, not turkey, because the majority of people that are in that situation don't have an oven that works And so, I mean, I lived poor. I know the turkeys were a joke most of the time, but a chicken, you can put it in the toaster oven. You can chop it up. You can, you know, you can make that fresh meat out of it. It's got cranberry sauce, stuffing and green beans and even fresh pies. Pensacola Christian College donated the pies. Butcher Shop donated all of the meat. So we started out with 300, and then we had a lady who lost her son to gun violence last year, and she wanted to do something in his name. And so she called us and said, would you mind if I gave you, you know, money to sponsor a few meals for Thanksgiving in honor of my son who passed away? So we exponentially increased that number she gave us, and we increased it by 100. So now 400 families, not 300, are going to get everything that I just mentioned.
Oh, that's
and
great.
She'll be able to come out and put maybe a flyer. I told her she can put a flyer in there if she wants to share the story of her son. How meaningful is that? So
that's
cool.
Great.
But tomorrow morning, Marcus Point Baptist Church starts at 7:30. We will go until it's gone. And from what I understand, it's going to be gone pretty quickly because the need is so high.
So Marcus Point Baptist Church tomorrow morning.
That's right.
Get in line whenever, but the actual giveaway starts at, you said, 7:30. Is that what you said?
7:30. You can walk up.
We are totally out of time. Up against the traffic break again. I love you. So thank you so much for the time this morning. I'll see you at Egg Fest over the weekend, and we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for explaining
all
this to us.
Absolutely. Yes. Take care.
And by the way, I fact-checked myself. George Washington Carver. I don't know why I had 10,000 in my head. It was actually like 300, but still, you know, it's a lot of things you can do with peanuts. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
All right, no accidents to report to you right now. If you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 3 to 5 minute delay in that area, and that's all I'm really seeing right now. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thinking of refreshing your home for the holidays? Good news! Jonathan's Flooring can help. Now through the end of November, Jonathan's is offering a special deal. They'll paint any interior room, walls, and trim up to 12 by 12 feet for only $299, including paint. Select from a large variety of colors, and rest assured, Jonathan's delivers first-class workmanship. To set your home's refresh appointment, stop by Jonathan's Flooring on North Palafox, just south of 9 Mile Road, or online at jonathansflooring.com.
Running a business is tough, but getting connected shouldn't be. Data Revolution is making it easy with free installation of phones and network upgrades. Whether you're opening a new office or upgrading your current setup, our expert team handles everything fast, reliably, and with zero installation fees. Search Data Revolution today to schedule your free installation and see our over 70 five-star reviews. Data Revolution is helping your business stay connected.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Damn shame what they did to that dog.
All right, pop quiz for you, John. What death metal band is that?
That's what I was trying to think about.
You know the voice. It's Rick Ocasek. It's The Doors. It's The Doors!
Okay, I was like, I was trying, see, I always try to think about this because I know I might be quizzed. I know it now. So
deceptively awesome Doors. All right. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David? The name of the song, or the door, not the doors, the cars, excuse me. The name of the song is Door to Door. Go ahead, David. What you got, sir?
The FAA is trying to halt further flight reductions since the government shutdown ended on Wednesday. Flights had been cut due to staffing shortages. Controllers will now start receiving their back pay, but there still have been a few cancellation and delay issues nationwide. Oil drilling being restored to millions of acres in Alaska. The Trump administration issued a press release yesterday saying they rescinded a decision by former President Biden to restrict development on 13 million acres in Alaska's National Petroleum Reserve. The Biden administration had restricted drilling there to protect the environment.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. The founder of Seville Quarter, one of the co-founders, just passed away. The patriarch of the Mitchell family, Wilmer Mitchell, died on Tuesday at the age of 92. Massive influence over, obviously, Pensacola culture over all of these years. The Blue Angels fly at 1 o'clock, and the back gate will open starting at 9 a.m., so you can go watch a practice. NES Pensacola is open again to the public. Local news.